This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Friday, what's up? Welcome in Grant and Danny on The Fan. June 11th, 2021, the weekend looms. Danny, what's up?
Weird sports night last night. All we had was association action. First game was like a 1990s, late 90s, early 2000s, Pat Riley, New York Knicks, Miami Heat type throwback where nobody can make a shot. Late game was a blast. Clippers Jazz, that was awesome. Clippers doing what they do. They play possum, get smacked around early in the series. Then the Stars maybe see if they can mount a comeback. But that Utah team was really impressive last night. But that was kind of the only sports going on, really.
The Bucks scored their lowest point total of the season.
Yeah.
And won.
And won.
The Nets' lowest point total since 2019. I heard somewhere today that that point total last night in that Bucks-Nets game, 65 points below the over-under that everyone was betting on, which is a record. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, because the Bucks are great generally at knocking down threes. The Nets have a million dudes that can make shots. You would never think that would happen, but here you are. Man, it's the playoffs. You don't know.
Both teams in the 80s. I remember seeing that when I watched playoff games when I was 7 or 8. Haven't seen that since.
So much Derek Harper.
Too much rain, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of that.
I've got a ticket. This isn't the ticket, but I want people to think this is the ticket.
Yeah. No, but it's the magic of the medium.
I've got a ticket to the Nationals game tonight.
Yeah.
I want to use the ticket. I want to watch Max Scherzer pitch.
Well, we got to figure out from Ryan if it's going to, what 50% chance it is.
Ryan said yesterday they would definitely play.
He said that.
In fact, he said, I'm going to use the eye test. It's not raining as much. This was at like 6 o'clock. Uh-huh. He goes, yeah, they're going to get it. I think he tweeted it. They're going to start at 7:05. They never played. The game got postponed. So I'm not going to ask Ryan if I'm going to get to use my ticket tonight.
I think they'd already shut it down by that point, by the way. It announced a split doubleheader on Saturday.
But his eye test told him there's a little bit of sun coming out.
Oh, I love it.
We only get a few more Max starts.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, Scherzer's here till the end of the season and leaves via free agency. Worst case scenario, he's traded in 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We get potentially a handful, maybe a few handfuls of Max Scherzer starts left. I got a ticket to one of them tonight. I want to see Max Scherzer pitch. Rain, rain, go away. Come again another day. That's what my daughter likes to say all the time when we go outside when it's raining. By the way, speaking of my daughter really quick, cute or sad or both? Let's play that game.
Ooh, here we go.
Cute or sad?
Hands on buzzers.
This was an emotional roller coaster for me when I heard this. So my wife and my two children are at the beach right now without Papa. Apparently last night, Madam President woke up, scream crying at the top of her lungs at like midnight. Bad dream, I guess.
Okay.
And all my wife could make out is she was saying something about green beans. Okay? So I don't know what happens when you wake up in the middle of the night scream crying about a bad dream.
Same here.
But she was screaming about green beans. So my wife asked her this morning what was going on last night. And she said she had a scary dream.
Yep.
She's two, by the way. I didn't even know you know you have dreams at two, but whatever. Her dream was that she didn't like green beans. but she does like green beans. So that was the scream crying. And she said it was this like petrifyingly awful. Something terrible is happening. Wow. If someone hears outside of the house, like they're going to be scared for everything going on in the house. Kind of scream crying. Uh-huh. And it was because her dream was that she didn't like green beans. But she actually does like green
beans. But in reality, I've been falsely accused here.
What do you think? Cute or sad?
It's, well, it you know, a scream cry wake up is never cute. It just isn't. But the post fact.
Because I said to my wife, when she told me that, I said, oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard. She said it wasn't that cute at midnight.
In the moment, it's not cute. It's never cute when they're screaming. We still, by the way, this is 4 or 5 months later. So what month is this? June? This was probably January or February. My youngest, same type of deal, nightmare. He still asks, are there monsters in the closet? Like, are there monsters in name this location? Nope. There are no monsters, never have been. Because I think he had a dream of some kind, where there was a monster maybe involved.
That's scary, dude.
Which is like scary.
I still remember a dream I had where two witches were in my house, and it was so real. I was a kid, right? But it was like so real that I slept with water to spray on them if they came back for like a week or two after that.
That is did you find out somehow that that's what stops them? Witches?
Yeah. So I don't know if my parents just told me that.
Oh, from Wizard of Oz, like the melting. Yeah.
I don't know. But I literally had a bottle to spray water on them and they would go away.
Yep.
If they came back. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I haven't thought about that in 20 years, but just because you brought that up.
Welcome back.
I'm going to sleep with a bottle of water next to me tonight now. Thanks a lot, Danny. You want to talk quarterbacks a little bit?
I do. Matter of fact, I do.
So I think I'm going to blame this on Michael Phillips, our good buddy from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I think he gets the blame for this. He wrote in the RTD that Taylor Heinicke has outplayed Ryan Fitzpatrick throughout minicamp. And he wrote that it's time to start talking about whether or not there's going to be a little bit of a quarterback competition. Now, I will say this, and if we get Michael on, I'd love to talk to him about this today because I want to get some observations from him. He was at practice. We were not. I'll mention this to him as well. It really doesn't matter at all if someone outperforms a quarterback at minicamp when you have an entrenched starter. The only time that would matter is if there's an open competition. And by no account is there an open competition. Fitzpatrick makes 10 times what Taylor Heinicke makes. $10 million to $1 million or so. And Fitzpatrick was brought in here to start. That's kind of been known all along. But the observation he made was Heinicke's been better. And there's just enough traction and buzz and energy and excitement in the fan base that people, when they hear Taylor Heinicke makes a nice throw, when they see a tweet,
it's what they want.
Taylor Heinicke dropped the ball in the bucket. It doesn't quite register like a backup did something. Don't you think it still registers here like guy that people want to see more of, that want to see play, did something?
We've done this before. Our fan base has a very short memory. This happened with Gus Frerotte. It happened with Trent Green. It happened with name that backup. The backup is always sexier than the incumbent with a couple rare occasions. Robert Griffin, I think, was the only kind of rare occasion where that wasn't the case. It was never his fault. Everybody just wanted to see him and loved him so much. But the backup quarterback is the most popular guy in town when the team isn't any good. That's always a thing. And especially you get this small sample where Heinicke played admirably. He did. It was awesome what he was doing. He was doing the gunslinger, you know, go to the parked car and turn around. I'll hit you on a button hook. And if that doesn't work, I'll die for the first down and dislocate my shoulder and the whole nine yards. He played heroically.
His playoff game against Tampa Bay was one of my favorite individual performances for any DC sports team that I've ever seen. I'm not overstating that. My expectations for him were zero. I had a blast watching that game. I was 12 years old again, a diehard fan jumping up and down watching that playoff game because it was just so unexpected what he was doing.
Because of that, I mean, again, this is a phenomenon we talk about all the time. There were people, regardless of what data points were handed to them, no matter what information you said, well, here's a passer rating, here's a game log, here's a history of not being any good, nobody cared because Colt McCoy beat Dallas on Monday Night Football that time. Doesn't matter that Pierre Garçon and company were going to walk out of the locker room or were furious and had to be coaxed back into it. None of that mattered. Colt McCoy beat Dallas on Monday Night Football. And there were memes and there were GIFs and the whole nine yards. So everybody just said, what about Colt? What about Colt? What about Colt? Not everybody, but a huge percentage of the population that cares about this team just clamored for Colt all the time. It didn't matter how horrendous he was a couple weeks later against the Giants or for the rest of his career, or that the only person who wants him to start is Jay Gruden. None of that mattered. Colt McCoy beat Dallas that time. Same thing with Taylor Heineke. He's experiencing that bump. Big samples are not kind to him. Big samples are not kind to backup level quarterbacks. I want him on the team. I want him on the roster.
He deserves to be
on the
team.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick twists an ankle, enter Taylor Heineke to gunsling and make some plays and you swashbuckle his way back into it. All in on that.
I actually think Kyle Allen would be my backup and Heineke would be my third guy going into camp. Having said that, obviously, how they play, what they do in practice, in preseason games, will determine the pecking order of the depth chart. You don't just get to be the backup of your Kyle Allen. Nothing's given to you. I acquired you for a fifth-round pick, which is very little, just like I acquired Taylor Heineke for nothing because he was taking college classes and I signed him off the scrap heap. But this would be an open and closed case. This would be a nothing burger to me with bacon and cheese, like what Ryan's going to go pick up from Shake Shack in just a little bit. Something delicious. I'm not telling you to go pick it up right now. I'm just saying it would be a burger that's delicious and wonderful. But Ron Rivera is not saying there's going to be no competition. I don't think there's an actual competition. We all know that Ryan Fitzpatrick's the starter. We all pretty much get that he was brought in here to be the number one guy, clearly. But he was asked about this, and he's saying they're going to push each other. He's using the word compete. So it is opening the door now. It's kind of opening Pandora's box to pretend like, I guess, Heineke's got a shot. Allen's got a shot. This was Rivera at his press conference.
Well, first of all, how quickly things were picked up, how well Fitz jives with our receiving core, our tight ends, our running backs, the rapport he has with the offensive line. That was good to see. When Taylor got back in there, it was good to see Taylor. The one thing that you can say about Taylor is he's an extremely accurate passer, delivers a really good ball to the receivers. His rapport with those guys is also very good. So it's going to be a good competition. It really is. I look forward to it. I think it's going to push our football team and make our football team better. I just feel that, going into this, knowing we have a proven guy there that has the ability to lead us. But again, we have a guy in Taylor that shows us that he can do it. They're going to compete. They're going to push, and I'm looking forward to it.
They're going to compete. They're going to push each other. I'm looking forward to it. The end of that cut. And he used the word competition earlier. There's just two ways to look at this, I think.
Yep.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have to win the job and outplay Taylor Heineke during training camp in the preseason. Or they can say whatever they want. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to start in week one. And I think it's that one.
Coach speak.
Exactly. I'm complimenting Taylor Heineke. I'm saying nice things about him. We think he can play. We think he can run our offense. They're going to push each other. Well, guess who pushes Chase Young, supposedly? Shaka Toney. You know what I mean?
Yeah, William Bradley King. That's a competition.
Guess who pushes Terry McLaurin? Deami Brown pushes him. They're out there competing. You can say that. They're not competing for the number one job, but they're out there competing. Just like Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke and Kyle Allen are out there competing. I hear this. I read, whether it's Phillips or anybody else, saying Heineke outperformed Fitzpatrick, and I kind of say, that's nice. Fitz is the starter. There are camps around football where there are competitions. This is not one of them. In Washington, D.C., we know they've got a starter, it's Fitzpatrick. They've got a backup. Maybe that'll be Heineke, maybe it'll be Allen, and then they're going to have a third stringer. I'm not putting this team in the boat of the clubs that have a quarterback competition. It seems like people are starting to want to do that.
Let me ask you this. If let's say hypothetical situation. I'm an astute and attentive listener to the Grant and Danny program. And I hearken back to a couple months ago when one Ron Rivera was on the radio with Grant and Danny. And Ron Rivera said, not having a quarterback competition, referencing his Dwayne Haskins Shabingas, that was his biggest regret. So, Grant, I ask you, why wouldn't he, when he said before that he wanted to have a quarterback competition and didn't, he's got the chance to have a quarterback competition now. Why wouldn't he do that? Why shouldn't this be open for discussion?
It should probably be open for discussion. And you know my take on Ryan Fitzpatrick. While I think he is proven the last few years that he's improved, and he's better than Heinicke, and he should be better than Allen as well, he's not above a competition. You signed him to an amount of money that's a little bit more than backups make. He's basically paid like a 1.5. Not a 1, better than a 2, but a 1.5. Bridge quarterbacks like him, guys that are paid like Tyrod Taylor, similar kind of money, those guys should have to compete for starting jobs. I believe that. I just don't think he's going to compete. The messaging, the rhetoric, the plan, it seems like, all offseason long has been Fitz's squad. And for the record, everyone in the building has been raving about him. I was texting with someone the other day, like, hey, what do you think of what you're seeing so far that works with the team? And they said, the guys just love Fitzpatrick. You can see why he's always so popular. He gets along great. He's a really good leader. This has been a strong start for him, I think, in terms of his inaugural days in this organization. Now, supposedly, Heinicke outperformed him in minicamp. I don't think that matters at all. I just don't. If I was reporting on the team, I probably wouldn't even like write that, because it kind of gives credibility to this idea that it matters, which I don't think it does. I might bring it up on the air if I'm the beat reporter for the station and say, if they ask me, yeah, Taylor Heinicke's outperformed him, but immediately say, so what? It's the equivalent of if Steven Sims had a better practice than Curtis Samuel. Let's say Samuel was out there. Okay. Steven Sims may or may not make the team. If he does, he's not going to play over Curtis Samuel. He had a better practice in June. So what? I kind of put this in the same boat.
Spring training rolls around. Max Scherzer decides, I'm only throwing fastballs the first two times to the order, to the outside corner.
Exactly.
Doesn't fare as well as AAA Timmy, that's trying to make the club,
Eric
full repertoire,
Fetty's outperformed Max Scherzer in spring so far. That could be a fact. It's also not that important.
There's a difference. And I don't know that we're as extreme here when we talk about Scherzer versus Fetty, but I'm trying to use the analogy.
Though, but hold on. Does it matter that Scherzer? Like, Fitzpatrick is a guy that gets benched all the time.
And this is where I'm going.
Fitzpatrick is a guy who has terrible games. Fitzpatrick is middle-of-the-pack quarterback. He's not an ace starter who's been an all-star and a Cy Young winner.
And my belief as to how this is going to go is he's going to have a great early season, because he's done that in his last 7, 8, 9, 27 stops, numbers approximate. Then he's going to have a couple horrendous games. Then he's going to have kind of up and down middling results and will ultimately give way to somebody else by the end of the season. I think that's how it's going to go, because that's how it's always gone for him.
I'm on record as saying Ryan Fitzpatrick will not start all 17 games. That might be injury. He's much older. He's close to 40 than he was years and years ago when he was able to stay healthy. It might be performance, which more often than not, when you ask him to start for a whole season, he has these bad enough performances where someone else has to come onto the field. I just don't think it's true that they're having an open competition at all. And I don't expect Ron Rivera to give, maybe this is the better way to say it, I don't think Ron Rivera will give Taylor Heinicke a chance to win this job. I don't think Ron Rivera will give Kyle Allen a chance to win this job. They might outperform him in camp. They might get a couple of first-team reps. I don't think they actually have a shot to be the starter in week one. But here's the question we can pose to you guys. Do you agree with that? Do you think if Heinicke is better than Fitzpatrick between now and week one, he could start? Do you think if he proves that he is the best quarterback on the roster this offseason, that will mean that he's the starter come the first game of the season, despite not making nearly as much money as Ryan Fitzpatrick? 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's open up the Gambit DC listener lines. And we'll start next segment with Ron Rivera when he was on our show recently talking about last year and his biggest regret in his first year in Washington, D.C. as a head coach, being that he didn't have a quarterback competition to push Dwayne Haskins. How might that factor into this? We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here. And the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
I think the biggest thing I would have done was I would have created a few more opportunities mixing everybody around, as opposed to saying, okay, I'm going to stick with just the one guy and do that. I think now in retrospect, and again, hindsight is 20/20, I would. And it's something that I'm going to chalk up as an experience. You know, you learn from experience. And if I ever get in this situation again, I will look to do it differently.
So that was Rivera when we asked him if he had any regrets from last year. He was talking about not having Haskins compete for his job, basically. How relatable is that, though?
So here's the key distinction. That situation, again, not having multiple quarterbacks on the roster, but every team has multiple quarterbacks on the roster. Maybe it's the young quarterback instead of handing it to him. It's not quite analogous. One guy was 21 and the other guy is 40.
No, but he did say, basically, I just wish I pushed our starter. I wish I gave him more competition. And this offseason, he's got a chance to do that, potentially. So we're talking quarterbacks to start the show today because Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch mentioned in his observations from camp that Heinicke outperformed Fitzpatrick. And I'll just say that I don't necessarily think that that's that big of a deal or that important on a three-day minicamp in June. But as we played a clip earlier to show you, Rivera has had this tone and this rhetoric where while he's not saying it's this open competition and they're splitting reps or anything like that, he does use words like competition and compete, which we're taking as coach speak, but some people are taking to say maybe Fitzpatrick is not actually locked in. Maybe there is a chance that Heinicke or Allen could end up winning the job with a great offseason. So the question that we have posed now on the Gambit DC listener lines, bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. Is there any way that Heinicke or Allen, but I think Heinicke's kind of the guy we're zeroing in on here, could win the job by outplaying Fitzpatrick? My answer to that is no. I think no matter what, Fitz is the guy in week one. If he's faltering after a great offseason by Heinicke, maybe you're more inclined to go to him sooner than you would have been. Like, he could change the perception of him and how much of a backup he is. I don't think he can do anything to unseed Fitzpatrick before the year starts. And I'll go as far as to say, Danny, I think the only way Fitz doesn't start in week one is if he's hurt. He's injured and he's unavailable. That's the whole list for me.
Non-injury division. Picture a normal hallway, right? There are two people walking, and only one person is going to be able to get by. 99% of the hallway belongs to Fitzpatrick. He's going to win the faceoff. There's the tiniest little sliver, right? I think it could be so egregious where Fitzpatrick all of a sudden just can't do it, and he's...
But that's so unrealistic.
It's pretty unrealistic, is my point. I think it's possible. The same way that we would have said, no way a seventh-rounder ends up unseating this guy. No way a fourth rounder. No way this journeyman. No way this. It's happened in Washington football history with a bunch of coaches. This group decided we are not willing to take any kind of a step back at all, because even without having a long-term quarterback.
But you're basically saying then that you're with me and that Fitz is the starter.
Fitz is the starter unless. I think it's nine. If you run this computer simulation 1,000 times.
So what does that look like? What does that simulation look like?
It looks like Heinicke's excellent every time he steps on the field.
Is it more about Heinicke or Fitz?
It's got to be equal parts both. Fitz all of a sudden can't do it for the sake of argument, or it doesn't look particularly good. And Heinicke balls out in preseason. Because, again, that's happened before, where a guy gets in and gets the second unit offense, or you know, Fitzpatrick only plays one series up against a first-team defense, and Heinicke plays great, and every time he gets on the field, it's electric and he's awesome. And maybe you go, maybe we did find somebody, and all the crazy fans are right. Is it likely? Of course not. Of course it's not likely. I never bet on it. It's like flushing money down the potty. I would never do that. Fitzpatrick's the starter. It's a very slim margin, but I think it's possible.
So in the hypothetical that Heinicke's unbelievable in preseason action and it outperforms him at camp, I still think Fitz starts. I just don't see any path for him if Fitzpatrick is healthy. Teams like to preach meritocracy. Most of them are not that.
Yeah, when it's convenient, they do.
Absolutely. But Fitzpatrick is a $10 million man, and Heinicke re-upped for a little over the minimum. And he re-signed at a rate that you pay third quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks. I still think that that matters. Fitzpatrick should have to win the job. I want that noted. If it's up to me, he would be competing. He's not on a level that exceeds that, even though he's played better than that the last couple of years as a part-timer. But he is more Tyrod Taylor to me. He is more Andy Dalton than he is guy that comes in as the unquestioned starter, even though he's not that good. Like a Sam Darnold with the Panthers, mm-hmm. Let's say. Let's go to the phones. We'll welcome in Paulie in Norfolk. Paulie, what do you make of this coming out of minicamp? Seems like Heinicke's got a little momentum all of a sudden.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Hail to the W.
Hey, bud.
I mean, truth be told, Heinicke has all the momentum since the Tampa game. I mean, there's a large number of people in this fan base, including me, that wants to see Heinicke get a fair shake at starting, man. I mean, look, we got 17 years of sample, a large sample size of Fitzpatrick. And the one thing we all know is he's never done it from snap one to the last snap as a starter and carried a team to a successful season. I mean, so in saying that, it shouldn't be. I mean, that money, $10 million, is not a lot for a starter. That's backup money.
Yeah, it's basically one and a half money, I would say. It's like between a backup and a starter.
As a guy that you bring in if your starter fails, money is what he has. Now, in saying that, you know, it'd be a travesty if Ron don't get his guy a fair chance. Because, number one, the team has confidence in Heinicke. Nobody on that field has forgot what he's done against Tampa Bay. Heinicke, ask Chase Young. You know, so if he goes out here and he clearly outperforms Fitzpatrick in training camp, and then Fitzpatrick is still named the starter, and he goes out and throws three interceptions against the Chargers and we lose, you're dividing the locker room at week one.
Well, if they don't think he should be on the field, and by all accounts, Fitzpatrick, just the people I've talked to with the organization, is already kind of beloved and a made man in the locker room. Like, they really, really dig this dude. He's always one of those guys that everyone around him was inviting to their parties outside of the facility. One of the most popular employees in the building, so to speak. So I don't know that you're going to have that kind of reaction with Fitzpatrick. But there is something to be asked out of that call, which is, if it is clear that Heinicke's better this offseason in this offense, which he knows and Fitz doesn't, and then you name Fitzpatrick the starter, is that in any way a problem? If you're preaching in this culture,
the best
are going to play. Now, I have a hard time believing, to be completely honest with you, that Heinicke would be definitively better than Fitzpatrick.
But let's say for the sake of argument.
But yeah, this is a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the end of camp, at worst, they'd be kind of even, up and down. Both of them look a little bit like the 27th best quarterback in the league or something like that. But if he is somehow, at the end of all of this, obviously better, where all the reporters that have been out there, all the players that are around, the fans who were at all the practices that they're open to see, come away saying, one of those guys was better and it wasn't Fitz, and they still name him the starter, which is what I think they would do, would that be a problem? I don't think it'd be a problem unless he really floundered when the season began.
Yeah, well, for Fitzpatrick, it would have to undo all that, some of that goodwill. It'd have to be so bad that guys would say, yeah, we don't care about his practice play. That's our guy, that's our warrior, that's our leader, that's the guy that's going to dive at the goal line and helicopter like John Elway at 40 years old and keep getting up and talking smack and grinning when his helmet's on sideways because he got his you-know-what knocked into the dirt. People love Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So this isn't like a Jeff George type dude that nobody can really stand to be around. I think that's a very salient point as well. But for me, here's my problem with it. Everybody, if Ron Rivera speaks, people go, thank you so much for speaking, Ron Rivera. Everything you say is correct. Well, when you're preaching something and then you don't actually do that, that's a problem to me, and eventually it becomes a problem to players. So in other words, you're preaching culture, culture, culture. Again, Who's better for your culture than Ryan Kerrigan, than Nick Sundberg, than Morgan Moses? They're all gone because they weren't Ron Rivera guys with Charlotte area codes. So it's culture most of the time. It's culture, you know, if we picked you. It's culture. If you start doing that where you're preaching competition, you're preaching this, do things the right way, do things the right way, and then you don't reward the guy who beat out somebody, guys notice that sort of stuff. Those deposits start to go into the negative side over time.
You would think, though, Rivera would, based on showing favoritism to all of his Carolina guys on the staff, players, anyone he's ever worked with before, Marty Herney, you know, guys he shares an agent with, Martin Mayhew, they all get jobs.
Yep.
You would think that would help Taylor Heinicke in this process. Now, I know he picked Ryan Fitzpatrick this offseason, so you don't want to look wrong. And maybe paying him and bringing him in as your quarterback for this season is enough to not go away from him because you want to kind of support your decision from this offseason. But Heinicke was your guy in Carolina. You brought him in. He's Scott Turner's guy for sure. He was with him in Minnesota before Carolina and now in Washington. Let's go to Dre in D.C. on the fan. Hey, Dre, how are you?
What's up, Dre?
What's up? How are you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I was calling. Okay, I was going back up the last dude about the Heinicke and Fitz situation. I do believe that if Heinicke outperforms Fitz, then he should have a chance. I don't care about the money. Fitz has a track record, like Danny said. Play good in the beginning. He's a gunslinger. He'll get the ball down the field. But he has a track record, the same Fitzpatrick. That's why he played for about 19. Heinicke, he does have momentum from the Tampa Bay game from last year. So give him a chance. If he does outperform Fitz, then they should give him a chance. But I do agree with you, Grant, as far as them going to still like put in Fitzpatrick because he has the name and all that. But Heinicke should have a chance.
And with you, Dre, by the way, I don't know if I've made it clear enough or not. I'm not saying that he shouldn't have an opportunity to compete. I believe that Fitzpatrick is jaggy enough, pedestrian enough, has been uneasy enough over the course of his career. His track record, which our last two callers have eloquently pointed out, is very, very inconsistent. To me, his resume is not that of a guy that just shows up and becomes a starter.
There's no unquestioned starter here.
If Russell Wilson goes somewhere, Deshaun Watson goes somewhere, if he's not in trouble, you're immediately the starter. Even in the middle tiers of the league, you know, guys like Baker Mayfield shows up. He's your starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not that. He wasn't the starter for a team at the end of last season. Now, he was the better quarterback, and he should have been, but he wasn't. He was on the bench last year. So it's not crazy that they would allow for an open competition. If there was a option with more NFL credentials than Heinicke, I would be going really hard with the fact that they need to have this competition.
Does Allen have enough for that? Probably not, right?
Closer for me, honestly. I went into minicamp assuming Kyle Allen is the guy that should probably be the number two quarterback. But I know with the fan base, they've decided it's Heinicke. And he played well at minicamp, according to the reporters that were out there. 800-636-1067 is the number. Should Washington give Heinicke a chance to win the job this offseason? And if he does outperform Ryan Fitzpatrick, would that be enough for him to start in week one? I don't think it would be. Danny?
No, it's Fitzpatrick. It's his job.
Grant and Danny on the fan. We are going to be playing a game. It's a Friday. We play games on Fridays.
Something we do.
Movie trivia.
Here we go.
The category will be sports, oddly enough. Sports movie trivia. We play a clip. If you can name the movie, you can win tickets. 3:25, a little under a half hour from right now. Make sure you're listening to G&D. But right now, we're hitting the phones at 800-636-1067. Talking Taylor Heinicke. Michael Phillips, Richmond Times-Dispatch, writing that he outperformed Fitzpatrick at minicamp. And J.P. Finley, we brought this up with, who was out at practices, said, yeah, no doubt. I mean, anybody who was there would tell you that. Now, I don't think that's a big deal in and of itself, but when asked about it, Ron Rivera made it seem like those guys are competing in some way. Not an open competition. This isn't the Denver Broncos with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. But he didn't seem to close the door on Heinicke. So I guess the question is there anything that Heinicke can do this offseason that would make Ron Rivera think he's the guy? Unseed Fitzpatrick. And I'm saying no. Danny is not as adamant, but is kind of leaning no
as
well.
It's pretty much no. It would have to be Fitzpatrick really falters, and Heinicke's great.
And I think if Fitz is healthy, he gets the first crack at this. I don't think he starts all 17 games. I think at some point, Heinicke or Allen, whoever the number two is, will play. I'm not sold that it'll be Heinicke. It's certainly leaning that way now. Let's go to Robert in Warsaw, I believe. Robert, what's up?
Hi, guys. Hail to the Burgundy and Gold. By the way, I've come to the conclusion is that's what the team name should be. I mean, who can say anything about calling the Burgundy and Gold? Whether they had the stadium in Virginia, Maryland, or D.C., it's still the Burgundy and Gold. But I digress. About the quarterback, I think that it's going to have to be a definitive difference between Fitz and any of the rest of them for him not to be the starting quarterback for a couple of reasons. One, of course, he's getting paid more, and they, of course, we should expect a little more there. But also, if any of the other three, if they don't get to start, they're probably going to stick around Washington as long as Washington will have them. Fitz, if he doesn't start, he's out of here at the end of the year, and then you don't have that experience or that quarterback.
It's not like he's going somewhere else to start at that point, probably. If he gets beat out by Taylor Heinicke, and he's almost 40, so he could be in the booth a year from now, perhaps. What do you think of the idea? The analogy I'll use is, if you want to take the belt from Fitzpatrick, and he's the champion coming into the fight, you probably got to knock him out. In other words, that's not a decision where you win that fight like 7-5.
That's a good way to put it.
And they're going to give you the belt.
Yeah, the split decision means it's Fitzpatrick's job.
Exactly. He keeps his belt.
Veteran track
record. He basically said, I think this guy has to way outplay him. I agree with that. That's the only way they would even have a meeting about it at the facility. And I still think they'd come out of that meeting saying, well, we're going to go with Ryan first and see what happens.
The way it would have to go to me is if, kind of what we were referencing before the break, is if Ron Rivera and company are going, you know what, we're preaching this thing and guys are going to notice if we don't do this. We'll run the risk of not having guys buy in if it's that egregious and that extreme.
Matt in Stafford just texted me and said, this dude's Warsaw accent is so great. I love it. He did have an amazing accent. I don't know if that's a Warsaw accent or what that is.
I don't know what that is, a boot, because he said a boot. And I was like, I enjoy Toronto as well.
I kind of thought about asking him, where are you from? But then I just got scared in 2021. And asking any questions is really...
Yeah, follow-ups are bad is what we've learned.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get fired. I got two kids. I just want to get mac and cheese at the store and feed it to them. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's up, Dre?
Hey, gentlemen. So, I mean, it sounds like you guys are, you know, trying to have your cake and eat it too, because on one section you say, you know, Fitzpatrick, he's not worth necessarily just getting the starting job, but at the same section, same time we're saying, you know, he needs to get the starting quarterback.
I'm not saying he needs to, Andre. I'm saying this. I'm telling you what I think is he should have to compete. What they think, in my opinion, is that he's the starter. So it's two different things, I think and what they think.
I got you. I will say this. I remember Seattle many moons ago. I guess was it Flynn and Russell Wilson came in, and, you know, he won this position. I guess the question would be, if you have Fitzpatrick, who you have your 700-page playbook, and Fitzpatrick knows 300 of those pages of that 700-page playbook, you know, are your chances of winning with that odds compared to, say, Heinicke, who knows, you know, 700 because of pages of a playbook, because I think Heinicke probably knows the offense like the back of his hand. You know, which one gives you a better chance to win? A guy who knows the playbook and he could do everything, or a guy who only knows, like, maybe, you know, half of it or so? And, you know, if the coaches come together and say, you know, because we have a gauntlet, man. If the coaches think we need to put up points, who's going to put up more points? And, you know, it could be Heinicke, but it could be Fitzpatrick. I guess my money would go Heinicke probably would have a better command of the offense. And if you can sit down and say, yeah, I'm going to play a guy who does not have as great as command of offense as this other guy, and you're going to be okay with that decision, well, you know, I guess why they're paying you big money, I guess.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
It's amazing to me. It's almost like 2 days ago was the Tampa Bay game.
I know.
The fan base loves Heinicke.
Yes, they do.
He is a made man with this fan base.
Yes, he is.
one performance. I guess it's two performances because he had a good fourth quarter against the Panthers the week before that, or a couple weeks before that. But
he completed a pass that time.
Wow. 800-636-1067. Do you think Heinicke can unseat Fitzpatrick before week one?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.